Hello and welcome to Level Up, not the Daily Torridors podcast anymore. Now it's just two dudes talking.
To be fair, it was two dudes before.
But now we have no money in which to do it. January 27th, and this is Level Up Podcast. The blog got renamed, but the podcast, at least right now, still Level Up. Blog is now New Game Plus.
Yeah.
Woo! If we find out that someone else has the rights to the name Level Up, we'll name our podcast Trenched.
Yes.
Because that name is free now, apparently.
Well, we don't know about the UK. That could be different.
We're a US podcast. This is the Trenched Podcast. Talking about Iron Brigade all the time.
Welcome. I'm Tim Schaefer.
Wait. Half of that was right.
Oh. I'm Schaefer.
No. I'm Britton Peel. I write things. You're Tim. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Let's just jump right in. Hey, Tim, what have you been playing lately?
Been playing a lot of iPad stuff. I bought Fingle.
That looks interesting.
It is, in a phrase, sexually charged.
Now, are you playing Fingle with anybody?
That's the only way to play it. In fact, playing it by yourself is almost impossible.
Are you having protected Fingle?
I don't like where this has gone. So, yes.
Okay, so what is Fingle? I've seen a video, but...
Fingle is you playing with a friend.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Uh-huh. We could leave it there, but I won't. Pretty much you're trying to keep your fingers on some moving targets and get those targets into goals. And through various means, your hand will be interacting with whoever you're playing with.
This still sounds like a good time.
So pretty much, it's kind of like a digitized Twister, but you're playing with your fingers.
Okay. That's maybe a little less... No, okay, I take it back. It's still totally sexual.
It is, and if you've seen the trailer, the first about 5 or 10 seconds is just hands penetrating other hands.
It actually does look pretty fun, though. Like, I've got to say.
It was a lot of fun. Here's a tip. Don't play with a stranger. Because the moment you make eye contact afterwards, it's over.
Alright, well, I'll keep that in mind. How much is Fingle?
99 cents?
Maybe? That's
or 99 cents or $1.99. I think it may have been like a new release sale price when I bought it.
Okay.
So yeah. I'm not really sure.
Cool.
And I also bought Puzzle Juice.
Is that the name? Pop Puzzle Juice?
I
can't even do the pop.
Okay. The Facebook pop?
Okay, sure.
Okay. No.
I've also been playing Puzzle Juice. Tell us about Puzzle
Juice.
Have
you?
Yes. Puzzle Juice is great.
But you're playing on your iPhone, right?
Yes.
I've been playing on my iPad, so I have no use for the picture-in-picture feature.
Okay, yeah.
And it is frantic.
It's a little crazy. I don't know. Did you have much trouble with... So, okay. Playing on my iPhone. Puzzle Juice is kind of like Tetris meets Boggle meets Match 3, kind of.
Pretty much any Match 3. I was going to say Bejeweled.
Yeah.
Because they're power-ups.
Yeah. So when you match stuff or get a line like you would in Tetris, you get letters. And then you want to use those letters to make a word. So when moving around the Tetris pieces, you just have to swipe back and forth on the screen, and then you can swipe down to move down, which is to be expected. The problem is, I would swipe down around the bottom of the screen all the time, and then there's letters down there. So instead of moving the piece, I'm suddenly swiping letters. Sometimes I would accidentally spell a word. That would be okay. But when things get really fast and really frantic, that's a bad thing to happen. I mean, it's a testament to the fact that the game is so good that I played it anyway. But that was pretty fresh. Did you have similar problems on the iPad with more screen space? Or?
I actually did run into the same problems, and I guess I actually could make the mental adjustment to say I need to keep my hand on the top half of the iPad. So at that point, I was like, I can't imagine what it'd be like to play on an iPhone.
Yeah.
But the bigger problem I had was sometimes it wouldn't register that I'd already touched, and I would be trying to swipe a word. So instead, I'd already be past the the blocks of letters, and instead I'd be moving a falling block all the way to the side, and suddenly I have, like, an L shape creating this, like, umbrella over this hole, and I was like, well, this is kind of over for me now.
Yeah, that, I only played it once because I played one really long game. I was at least that good to last a little while. And it was like 2 a.m, so granted, maybe if I had more brain power, more attention, I could better manipulate my fingers to where I'm not making those mistakes. But I did tweet something about, like, man, Puzzle Juice is great, but touch controls suck. And I guess one of the developers tweeted back, he was like, hey, we're working on fixing that. So, great. I don't know how you'd fix that, but...
I don't really know either, but... Yesterday there was an update for it, and I downloaded it, but I haven't played it yet. But in the bug fix list, it said improve touch controls.
Okay.
So
maybe it'll at least fix your problem of not detecting where.
Hopefully, because there were some bugs. Like occasionally, a block would just stay there and not fall.
Oh.
And I just wouldn't know what to do. Like it wouldn't fall unless I made a word, and then it would start falling. And it wasn't the freeze power up either. Like if I just left it there, it probably would have stayed up there forever.
Huh. Interesting.
Apparently they fixed it in the update, so...
Yeah, I did. I also had another problem that maybe... You could probably blame on my internet connection. I think my internet went out, like, right when I finished the game. So, my high score is listed locally on my iPhone, but not on Game Center. Huh. So, I went in to compare myself against all the other game journalists, which is what I do, because I want to be the best. And my score wasn't there, and so that really sucked.
Were you the best?
No, I wouldn't have been. I think Jason Killingworth... usually always better at everything. And there's a couple of Kyle Orland at Ars Technica.
Did you see those scores that Jordan Mallory at Joystick was tweeting out? They were insane. They're like, I think one of them was 6 million, 7 million.
Dang.
I was like, nope, I'm done with this now.
I think I was between 2 and 3 million. Let me check, just because
that's where I ended up too,
because that's good radio. Let me check my iPhone.
I've only played it one full time, and now I'm in the middle of another game. And I'm just, every time I think about it, I was like, oh, I don't want to be stressed out right now.
See, that was the thing, like, I was like, I'll just play this before bed, thinking, you know, no big deal. And then I was like, I can't just stop in the middle of this. Like, that would be dumb.
Nah.
Wait, do I have to do, okay.
Gotta make sacrifices.
So, the scoreboard. Oh yeah, drag to spell, because that's great menu. Yeah, I was almost at 3 million. So, that's okay.
That's a good score.
First time,
yeah.
I say.
That's pretty much that's pretty much the score point where you know, like, oh, I can handle where it starts falling pretty fast.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it gets really fast.
But mostly I've been using my iPhone to play Hero Academy, honestly. No.
See, I got Hero Academy on the iPad, and I saw your record, and I was like... If I tell Britton I have this, I know he'll say, play me. And then I was like, all right, so now I'm 0-1. What do I do now?
So I went like 8-0 for a while. I beat a lot of the developers. I beat Gabe from Penny Arcade, Mitch Dyer, which finally I beat Mitch Dyer at something.
Man.
Like, man, lifelong dream.
I feel like you should get some sort of like real life prize for that. Like, I don't know, like their hat or something.
But then I made the mistake of writing something about it for the Dallas Morning News, because Robot Entertainment is local. They're in Plano. And apparently they all loved that and were sharing it around. So I started getting all these testers and families of testers. And one of the guys, he was a brother of one of the testers, destroyed me twice. Oh. And now I haven't played in a few days because... I'm ashamed.
No, man.
But Hero Academy is pretty awesome.
Now, what I first thought it was like a very action-oriented, like turn-based sort of thing, but apparently it's completely asynchronous, sort of like playing chess by email.
Yes, it's more like Akron, you know, like battle chess.
Yeah.
Because it's a turn-based strategy game. But yeah, you're given... Everyone has a set of pieces... Whether you're right now, there's just two teams. There's the council, which is humans, and the dark elves, which are dark elves. And you get a random, I think it's five pieces at the beginning that you can put on the board. Some of them are power ups, some of them are just, you know, units. And yeah, you're putting things on the board, making moves. You have 5 moves per turn. And yeah, it works really well. especially since you can have, I think they upped it to 40 games going at a time.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I've had maybe 12 at most going at a time. And then, you know, there's some people that will play once a day or every other day. So it's good to have several games going at once. But yeah, that's been great. And it's free too, which is awesome.
Yeah, that is nice. Even though I haven't played it yet. It was nice getting something for free.
I mean, I paid a dollar. They had the Dark Elves on sale for a dollar when it first came out. And I jumped on that. Cause like, yeah, I want to spend time with this. This is great. So yeah, that was my iPhone gaming for a while.
Yeah?
Yeah. What else have you been playing? Anything?
Sword and Sorcery. I'm trying to get through that. And I don't know exactly how far I am into it, but I do love the music a lot.
The music's great. That's a game you play with headphones.
Yeah. I mean, every bit of advice that game gives you, like, play with headphones, pay attention, that sort of thing, is very important. And I don't know. It's the tone it takes, it's something I would normally take offense to. Like, if it was on the internet and people were saying these sorts of things to me.
Oh, yeah.
In, like, a very self-aware sort of way, I'd be like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
But for some reason, when I'm playing Sword and Sorcery, you're like, ha, good one, game.
Yeah, it's weird how it mixes those, like, it's super artsy, seems super academic, super serious. And then, yeah, the dialogue and stuff, you're like, what? And then when you have the option to tweet things out, like, that's just stupid, but it's awesome because it's stupid.
I haven't tweeted anything out yet because I'm just afraid people are like, no, I'm going to stop following this D-bag.
I think I did it once. But I think I've done, you know, a couple times where I'm like, yeah, let's see if I tweet right now, what is it going to say?
But the good thing is, though, they make it really easy. Like, if you have the Twitter, I don't know if it's just with the official Twitter app, but all you have to do is say, like, yes, allow this app to tweet for me, and then that's it.
Yeah. It's either good that it's that easy or really bad.
Yeah. but that's pretty much it. I've actually been tied to my iPad for a while. Consoles is just like kind of Christmas games with Saints Row, but honestly, I haven't played that in like a week. What have you been playing besides Hero Academy?
I've been playing a little Resident Evil Revelations.
Revelate? Are you saying that right?
Resident Evil Revelations. It says it right on the box.
I don't know if that's right.
It's out today in Europe, so I'm pretty sure Europeans talk like that. Revelations.
That does sound like a very French thing to say. It comes with a croissant.
Yeah. I get a croissant, a glass of wine, and play some Revelations.
With Jerry Lewis.
But that, okay. Resident Evil Revelations is a
Oh, so
pretty...
this is a different game, right?
It's okay. It's been re-released under the title. Today, they also... they're going to launch it for $40 instead of $50. Mm-hmm. They're also going to change the name from Revelations to Revelations. But so what will soon be known as Resident Evil Revelations is a really good 3DS game.
Really?
Good 3DS games have been coming out. Things are crazy.
That doesn't sound very likely.
No, it's true. I promise.
All right, so...
I spent $250 on the thing. I'm excited about games.
It sounds like you have Stockholm Syndrome with your loss of $250.
I got like 20 games free. Some of them were crappy NES games and some of them were crappy Game Boy Advance games. But I got games.
So a deal, maybe.
I actually do have a huge list of game icons on my 3DS, which it is nice to like, I'm like, oh yeah, I have tons of stuff I can play without switching out a cart.
That's pretty nice.
But yeah, Resident Evil Revelations feels like a console Resident Evil experience. It's probably better than Resident Evil 5. Because
I would find that hard to believe.
So here's the only catch. Half of it, well actually more than half of it, is better than RE5. Because it's slow moving, it's tense, it's got a great gloomy atmosphere.
So more like RE4?
Yeah, more like RE4, or even a little RE, like the original, because there's mansion-like places you're going around. Like, it feels good. It's the RE4 control scheme, like, to a T, and it looks as good as RE4, at least on the small 3DS screen.
I always forget the 3DS has a nub, which makes it perfect, because, I mean, RE4's control scheme was originally for GameCube, so
Makes
sense.
I don't have a CirclePad Pro yet, so I haven't been able to. I've asked Nintendo for one, and they've been like, "Yeah, maybe." I'm interested in seeing what that's like, but yeah, this is the way I played RE4 was with one control stick.
Yeah,
basically. So it works great. I haven't had any problems control wise or anything. The 3D is fantastic, and so yeah, a lot of the game is slow moving Jill Valentine. Going through creepy environments, you don't know what's around each corner. They're not real zombies, but the enemies are still—they're cool enough.
Like RE4 and 5 zombies.
Yeah, it's disappointing, but it's okay.
Where does this take place in the timeline?
Between 4 and 5, if I remember correctly. Okay, mostly between 4 and 5. So here's the really interesting thing: that's both one of the best things and where it slips up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The game is episodic.
Which,
when I heard that, I was like, that sounds dumb. Because what I want in a Resident Evil game, I want it to drop me in a big Metroid-style environment where I'm going into rooms and getting keys and stuff. You still do that. The thing is, you'll start an episode. And if it's episode 2 or on, you totally get that previously on Resident Evil Revelations.
Huh.
Which is actually cool. Because it's a mobile game. If it was a console game, I'd be like, that's stupid.
Well, that actually sounds like Alan Wake, doesn't it?
It's a little like Alan Wake or Alone in the Dark.
Which... Oh. All right, so you went there. Well, I accept that.
I mean, I loved Alan Wake, but yeah, Alone in the Dark did the same thing, so you can't. But yeah, it's really cool. The only problem is, occasionally, since they have this episode structure, they do some really cool things with the story. Occasionally, you'll start an episode, you'll get a recap, and it almost feels like a show like Lost, where, like, here's the cliffhanger that happened last time, and then, boom, now we're going back 4 years before Terra Grigia blew up, and so you're seeing story sequences out of order, out of sequence. I think that's a really cool way to tell a story, especially for a mobile game, because it makes it a lot easier to pick up and play. And you can, leave it for a week, then come back. Maybe you have a long car trip or something. And, previously on Revelations. Oh, great. Now I remember what's going on. That's great. The problem is the stuff that's not you as Jill Valentine on the boat, a lot of the times it's a lot more action-oriented, like RE5.
That displeases me.
Yeah, so here's a machine gun, and here's a bunch of enemies coming at you. Go.
Ugh.
And that, like, it plays fine. It controls fine. It's just that's not what you want with a Resident Evil game.
Nope.
It's not like I'm playing those thinking, like, this is horrible. It's just like, this is okay. I'd rather be doing this other stuff.
Yeah.
And thankfully, like, those usually last pretty quick. 10 to 15 minutes, and then, okay, flash forward back to the present. Jill Valentine, hey, everything's super creepy. You just got this key. I want you to go see what you can unlock with this key, and it's awesome.
Hmm.
And then there's Raid Mode, which is just a cool bonus. It's kind of like the evolution of a Mercenaries mode, and it's better than the full retail product of Resident Evil, the Mercenaries 3D, which is sad, because I paid $40 for that game.
Wow.
Yeah, it's better. It throws you into areas that you've seen in the story, and it'll be like, hey, here's a bunch of enemies. You can play online with a friend or locally with a friend, or you can just go alone, go kill things, and then there's actually loot drops.
Huh.
Yeah, so you'll be getting, like, weapon upgrades that you can...
Are they persistent?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why I say it's... an evolution of the Mercenaries format, because I think it's a lot better.
I really like Mercenaries mode.
Yeah, yeah. So it's that more kind of action style, but it's fun to drop into, and, those only last a few minutes per match. So that's just as a complete package. I haven't finished it yet. I'm going to be reviewing it for Dallas Morning News Pop Culture Blog before it comes out here in the U.S. I think it's the 7th of February or something. But so far, that's an awesome game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
pretty excited.
If you have a 3DS, you should probably get Resident Evil Revelations.
Probably, if you're done playing Super Mario.
Yeah, which, so that takes a while, too.
Yeah.
And that's an awesome game.
I've heard. I played it a bit at, shamefully, just Walmart. but I stood there for about 40 minutes playing it, which is kind of a testament to how fun it was.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite games of last year.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, yeah, 3DS has good games.
Did you see the trailer for Resident Evil 6?
Yes.
What'd you think?
Resident Evil 6?
What? All right. Let's not go there.
Okay, so here's my hope for Resident Evil 6. It does something similar to what Revelations has done in that with Leon, you have this cool RE2 kind of in the city, slow-moving zombies thing. And then with Chris, you have, oh yeah, high octane, let's blow stuff up. Because if we can get the best of both worlds, I think that will be a great game.
I don't know, what they showed of Leon right in the middle or so seemed pretty action-oriented. When he was sliding to cover and punching that dude in the face.
Yeah, that worried me a little, but, you know, when looking at the zombies, you know, they're shambling, they're actual zombies, they're not Mahini.
Yeah.
So, yep. Like, that seemed like there's potential there. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm just optimistic. Because it looked pretty cool. Despite some of my concerns, it looked... I mean, it wasn't even gameplay, but it looked fun. Like, it looked like they knew how to make it exciting again.
Yeah, yeah. So it looks like it's... You know, because RE5 was just, hey, it's RE4, but prettier.
And punching boulders.
Yeah, so it's good that they're evolving the formula a little bit again. I'm really glad to see that.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, that'll be the third Resident Evil game this year, so
hopefully
it lives up to the other two.
Hopefully they nail it.
But yeah, RE is maybe exciting again? Maybe.
Oh, RE4 was such a huge jump, and I don't think it's fair to compare new ones anymore to it.
Yeah.
Because when you really think about it, RE4 brought in so many new things that weren't even in video games before. And when you say, like, RE5 wasn't great, I mean, it still was a fun game, but it didn't make leaps like 4 did.
Yeah, yeah, and it was, you know, with it being on a new generation of consoles, you thought, we hoped for more and didn't get it.
Yeah.
And then the DLC ruined everything.
I didn't play any of it.
I think the story-oriented ones were okay, but, you know, the first one they released was, yep, versus mode, because that's what you want in Resident Evil.
There was one that took you back to the RE1 mansion,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think that was okay.
That actually seemed pretty interesting, because if you know RE1 or played it, you'd want to see like what they brought back and what they didn't.
I can't remember if it was the exact same mansion or if it was just one that was like, you know, this is basically the mansion. But yeah, I have hopes. I won't necessarily call them high hopes. I have hopes for Resident Evil 6.
I think that's more than they could have asked from before. Yeah. So good for them, I guess.
Yeah. So that's good. Other news, Nintendo announced some stuff, sort of.
Sort of?
Kind of.
Kinda.
They announced some stuff in the sense that they're like, hey, we're gonna make another Mario game.
I don't think that's really an announcement. That's like saying, hey, guess what? There's an outside world out there. Open the door. Really just saying, like, yeah, Mario exists. We're gonna make more.
Yeah, I mean, they did say it was gonna be another side-scrolling game, which a lot of people are way into that, but after playing 3D Land, I want more 3D Land. Already.
New Super Mario Bros. Was fun, though.
Yeah, like if... Yeah. I don't know. I have mixed feelings. I'm sure I'll buy it. I'm sure it'll be great. But yeah, 3D Land was so great, in part because it felt so fresh. It does stink to think that, yep, 1 year later, we're just going to pump out another one. But, I mean, we haven't seen... We know literally nothing about it other than it's side-scrolling. So, maybe we'll be surprised.
And what's it supposed to be coming out on?
3DS. Mm. I think that's fine. I think the 3DS is a great system, and it's looking better every day. Battery life still kind of sucks, but it's... Like I said, there's good games. It's worth owning a 3DS now. So, I don't know. We'll see. I think E3 is going to be interesting for Nintendo, particularly with all the Wii U stuff.
Let's be honest, if they don't deliver and they just hold back because they know they're going to be the talk of the show, just because they're the only one who has anything going into it, it's going to be severely disappointing. Like, if they just hold back information because they know they can...
Well, I mean, like, this week, they announced different things. They said, hey...
But nothing particularly exciting.
Did you play Skylanders? Skylanders is way exciting.
All right, well, I played it also at Walmart, where I was putting things onto it through their container boxes. I was like, come on, read it. It's a Chop Chop. Take it.
Okay, so, yeah. So the Wii controller is going to have...
NFC.
Yeah, NFC support, which is basically like Skylander stuff, where you can put something on or near it, and if there's a chip in what you're putting on or near it, it can read and write data, which is how Skylanders works. And Skylanders should not be as exciting as it is, but it's exciting. Like, Skylanders is fun. Granted, I'm also playing it with my fiance, who's not much of a gamer, so it's not like you know, me and you saying, now, yeah, let's play some Skylanders. Like, this, man, we gotta get all...
You want to play some Skylanders?
I kind of want to play some Skylanders. But, like, the technology is cool. I think the potential is there to do cool stuff with that. So I do think it's kind of neat that they're like, hey, we're still packing stuff into this remote, that we're going to make it worthwhile. Like, I
mean, the announcement itself isn't all that much, but when you say, like, Nintendo is announcing it, because really all they do is announce new things, and you think, I wonder what Nintendo can do with that.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing, is, like, until Nintendo uses something, you don't know what a device is capable of.
No, so everyone who talks about the NFC chip and the Wii U controller, they're all related back to Skylanders. Yeah. One, because everyone knows Skylanders, and two, because what else can you do with NFC chips in video games?
You can make Diablo. Skylanders Diablo. This is something I don't want them to do, but when playing Skylanders, I was thinking, like...
You said it now, though, so okay. It's out there.
So I was thinking,
and
like,
now you've,
man,
delayed Diablo 3. Are you happy?
Man. Hey, Torchlight's coming out soon, right? Like, I was thinking, yeah, it was a horrible thought, but I was thinking, I wouldn't mind having, like, a Demon Hunter figure that... Yeah, I'll bring my Demon Hunter to your house. We'll play some Diablo because all my save data is on this Demon Hunter figure. Like, it's bad. But that's a cool thing about Skylanders. It really is. Like, it's cool. The technology is cool. It is mainly for kids. And considering that's often Nintendo's market, like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, if Activision can take a weird, random Spyro spinoff and make a cool thing with this technology, yeah, what's Nintendo going to do? Because it could be awesome.
The weird thing is that, you know, it is Activision, and they're not gouging for money. This easily could have just been like, oh yeah, let's milk this cash cow a bit more. But from what I can tell, they've been pretty tempered about it.
It's yes and no. You can get all 1,000 achievements or all the trophies in Skylanders just with the starter pack. But the additional figures are pretty expensive.
Yeah.
And, like, and all that stuff is on the disc. So, like, the what would be DLC, you know, you go buy a adventure set for the ghost ship level, $20.
Those do look kind of cool, though.
Yeah. That's the thing, is it's cool to use, but it is kind of a bummer because it's... It would be totally fine if there was enough data in the chip, in the figure itself, for that to actually be DLC.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, this is not on the chip. We're downloading this to your hard drive from the figure. Then I would be able to say, okay, yeah, $20 is still expensive for DLC, yeah, but you're getting a figure, and, like, that would be fine. So there's a little gouging going on, but yeah, like, if you're intent on just, like, buying a game and playing all the content, you can more or less do that just with the figures. And, yeah, good on Activision for doing that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was kind of the main thing from Nintendo. Like, they said, hey, Nintendo Network, but if you connect to Mario Kart 7 online, it tells you connecting to the Nintendo Network. So it kind of already exists.
From what I can tell is that they're applying a more modern interface to our current backend.
Which would be great.
Which is to say, like, they're going to catch up to 360 and PSN.
Yeah, but, like, I'll say this. For the 3DS eShop, which still needs some work, now you can save your credit card information, which is fantastic. And,
But, you know, really, that's just the feature that should have been there from the beginning. That's everything about Nintendo's online efforts, you can just say it should have been there from the beginning.
Absolutely. And that's the other thing I'm excited about is that they finally started giving reviewers review codes for eShop games. Which, like, as a member of the press, I'm like, yeah, that's awesome! I can finally review these games! But, yeah, that's really dumb that it took them this long. I think they're learning. I think they're finally adapting. Yes, it sucks that by adapting, they're just catching up.
Yeah.
But that is better than the alternative of them just staying where they are.
No.
So, yeah.
Yo, man, what's your friend code?
Man, I've got my friend code somewhere.
I don't want it.
but yeah, I mean, so Nintendo Network, great. I'm glad they're embracing DLC and more web stuff and whatnot, but yeah, it is stuff that they should have had a long time ago, so it's only kind of exciting.
Yeah. Did you ever do their online Camp Hyrule back in the day?
I think I did.
Man. Yeah. That's all I got.
I don't remember what camp... I remember it being... Yeah, Camp Hyrule. That's kind of it.
As far as I can remember, it was just like chat rooms with different backgrounds for where you wanted to be in Nintendo World. And okay. Then...
Why... I thought everyone was in Hyrule. It's Camp... Never mind.
Apparently not.
But yeah, I remember Camp Hyrule being a thing. I guess it was probably advertised in Nintendo Power. And that's probably how I was like, oh, that seems cool. I'm like a 10-year-old kid.
It was pretty cool, and I was a 10-year-old kid. That was back in the day when no one said, like, hey, watch out for online predators.
Yeah.
So you just go into a chat room and was like, hey, what's up, guys? I'm 10 years old. Let's talk about Nintendo.
Yeah, we're so free. Drop it into random multi-user dungeons and just, hey, everybody, I'm 8. Let's go raid some dungeons.
What's that? You want to know my address?
So yeah, that was Nintendo. Let's just knock out these other things pretty quick. GamesRadar had to let some people go, which sucks. Or I guess Future US, more specifically.
Which includes GamesRadar and...
And just about every gaming magazine that's out there that's not EGM.
That's true.
The magazines mostly weren't affected. Here's the weird thing.
But in total, they only let 19, right? 19 people go?
Something like that. The problem is, if it was 19 people, I kind of knew. So, yeah. Like, that it was...
I'm just saying 19 because it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, so, okay. Future, earlier this week or last week, came out with a news story saying, hey, we made tons of money because we found this new thing called the iPad. And I don't know if you heard, you can put magazines on this thing. And it's awesome. People have been subscribing like crazy.
They said they made over 1 million on subscriptions.
Yeah, and back issues and all kinds of... So, and, you know, things were looking pretty bleak for Future. But then they came out and said that. I was like, yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
That's $1 million.
Yeah. And then next day, practically, oh, by the way, we're laying off... We want to embrace digital culture because digital is treating us so well. We're going to lay off most of the people that work at our website. Like, what? What are you doing?
Like, who do you think is going to create content for your app now? Ask yourself that.
But, so, I mean, yeah, that's... Mainly we bring that up because it's just a huge bummer. As a freelancer, GamesRadar is the first website that kind of gave me a chance. Eric Bratcher, who... He left a while ago, but he was editor-in-chief then, and I had sent him, like, a horrible pitch. Like, it was great for, like, a philosophical... you know, newsletter or something. It was well written, I guess, but it was not a good pitch for GamesRadar. And yet he was still, like, totally nice enough to say, like, hey, I can tell you know what you're doing, but you don't know what you're doing. So let me, you know...
let me mold you.
Yeah, and he kind of, you know, crafted me a little bit. Then later on, I sold my first feature to him. They were the first ones to let me do reviews and stuff. So, like, that's... Those losses hit hard to me personally, not just because, like, oh, that's a bad sign for the industry, but maybe harder to find work. Like, no, that's people I kind of knew. Matt Keese was one of the people let go, and I actually met him at QuakeCon for the first time because he'd been my editor, and that really sucks. So
from what I read on Twitter, like, a lot of people who currently write in the industry, they all just said, like, yeah, got my start with, like, GamesRadar or someone with Future.
Yeah, I mean, like, Future's huge.
Yeah.
So that's... So it's mainly we just want to pour one out for everybody that had to leave and is still there, because, you know, they're not really up for doing much today. Like, I had a Games Radar feature due today. And yesterday was when everybody was laid off. And I was still in a nebulous state of, like, I don't even know if the editor I'm in contact with is still there. And how do I just say, like, hey, here's work for you to do. I know you're probably in a real bad mood. Like, this. So it sucked. So we wish everyone the best. We hope everyone lands on their feet and goes. Because Future ES puts out some great stuff. They staff some excellent people. Hopefully everything works out.
Hopefully.
Let's see. What else did we have? Oh, yeah. Indie Game, the movie, the show. So Indie Game, the movie is a movie.
Yep. Apparently a good one, too.
Yeah. Debuted at Sundance, apparently to rave reviews. And apparently HBO execs saw that and said, let's make that a show. And then somebody... So here's the crazy thing. Apparently HBO's half-hour department is shorthanded the comedy department. And that wasn't really common knowledge. So when, I think it was Deadline, made the news story saying, yeah, HBO optioned the rights to make a TV show out of Indie Game the Movie, it's going to be a comedy show. Everyone flipped out. Like, everyone went crazy. And, you know, I was personally like, you know, I'm not involved in the making of the movie, so I'm not as close to it as some of the people that were freaking out. But I was like, you know, a comedy about game development could actually be pretty cool.
But then you thought about Code Monkeys.
See, I didn't think about Code Monkeys, because no one should think about Code Monkeys.
Well, what else do you think about when you say, like, just, like, development, TV?
See, I thought of, like...
Code Monkeys.
I thought worst-case scenario, like, The Office, but with game development as a setting instead of paper company.
Yeah.
Which, like, no one's out... So the fear was that they were going to make fun of gamers and stuff by making a comedy show about indie game development. But, like, The Office is a comedy, and they're not making fun of the paper industry. That's just a setting for where jokes take place.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, Gary Whitta, writer of Book of Eli, tweeted pretty quick. He was laughing. He's like, yeah, remember when everyone thought a Facebook movie was going to be dumb? Everyone's, like, just freaking out when they don't know anything about this yet. And that turned out to be completely true, because it turns out it's not a comedy at all.
This just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It just seems like they're grabbing up rights to a lot of things. I'm just talking about TV execs and networks in general, not just HBO. Because I don't know if you saw, but recently... Honey Badger was optioned for a TV series. And
yeah, I mean, this is something that just happens with TV. When the rights to Shit My Dad Says were optioned, then, like, My Roommate Steve was also optioned, and everyone was like, what is My Roommate? I guess that's another Twitter, but what? You know, it's just, and then, you know, that never got made, and that happens all the time. But yeah, it's an interesting move. The people they were saying were, you know, lined up to produce this show, I think produce a good show.
I mean, the people who made Indie Game the Movie are still attached to it. I think they're going to be executive producers, right?
That's what such people usually end up as when...
Most tangentially related position possible.
Yeah. Oh, you wrote this book? You can be an executive producer. That means we take some money from you, and that's about it.
You do get a credit, though.
Yeah, but yeah, like I think a good show, even though, you know, it's fiction, I think you could make a good show about, you know, centered around game development. But Phil Fish in particular, you know, he said, I will not be Big Bang theorized, which I personally like the Big Bang Theory, so, like, that didn't seem that horrible to me.
I don't really like that show. It rubs me the wrong way.
See, that's what, you know, people say, like, it's just making fun of nerds.
It's not that. It's the format of the show, I would say more. Like, I was never really into Friends either, because the format of Friends and Big Bang Theory is just kind of like set up punchline instead of punchline.
Yeah.
I can see why people would like it, but when I watch a show like that, I was like, eh.
Yeah, and that is what it is. You know, my fiance and I watch it to, like, hey, we've had a long day of work. Let's relax, laugh a few times. So... But yeah, so Phil Fish freaked out. Then once he talked to the people in charge, he's like, okay, never mind. I get why, like, yeah, if there's a threat that, you know, you made this beautiful movie about indie game development, and it looks like it is a beautiful movie. If you make that, and then someone says, okay, we're going to remake that as a comedy, and then Phil Fish is sitting there thinking, they're going to cast someone as me and make fun of me. Like, yeah, that would suck.
Because, like, his story is probably the most prominent one of Indie Game, the movie. Because, I mean, they also do Super Meat Boy, but mm-hmm. namely his development in Fez, because his lifestyle for developing that game was so obsessive, and I guess mainly just interesting. I could see why he would take offense to it, because it's so personal to him. Not mm-hmm. saying the other developers featured weren't personal, but for him, they pretty much documented his life.
Yeah. So it was just a issue of, like, hey, we should have waited before... Everyone should have waited before saying things. Because apparently the producers and...
We also talk about the internet.
Yeah.
The home of overreaction.
Well, the creators of Indie Game the Movie were watching a movie when the news broke, so they couldn't, like, fan the flames until hours later. And, yeah, Phil Fish and everyone else was like, hey, guys that made this movie and just sold these rights, what's going on? Like, just miscommunications all around the board. It sucks that it had to happen, but personally, I think that if this gets to production and they start making a show, I think there's potential there at the very least.
I'm just concerned because it's going to be on HBO, which is notorious for programs with nudity. And I'm concerned they're just going to throw that in gratuitously just to say, like, oh, yeah, this is a rock star developer, and he lives a hard party life.
I don't know. I don't know if that happened.
They throw around breasts liberally.
I watch Game of Thrones. I know how often there's nudity. I don't remember any nudity in Fight of the Conchords, but that's a good thing.
That also only went 2 seasons.
Yeah.
But that was also at Brett and...
Yeah, it was at their request. Yeah, I don't know. Like, they're also making American Gods, which would also probably have nudity. So, I guess I get your point, but I don't know. That's not something I think of. Like, oh, HBO, nudity. Maybe it's just because I don't watch enough HBO.
I'm not really concerned. I'm just saying it is a possibility. Because I could see them just saying, like, you know what really distinguishes cable television is the ability to do this sort of thing.
Yeah, that's a concern. So there's that. And then our last bit of news, the Neo Geo is back. Or Neo Geo, I guess, just as a whole. They're back. Remember them?
The question is, did they ever go away?
Bubble Bobble.
Who doesn't remember?
Yeah, I mean, they're still there as a company. They've always been. They're still putting out King of Fighters games.
Somehow.
That I refuse to play.
What? For any reason? Like,
I've got... So one was sent to the newsroom at the Daily Torridor, and Alex, the managing editor at the time, I guess it ended up in his hands. He was like, hey, do you want this? I said, okay. I don't think I ever played it. I played old King of Fighters games. I like fighting games in theory. I enjoy that they exist. But when you get real technical and real into fighting games...
Frame counting?
Yeah, I'm just like, I can't do this.
Have you been to Barcadia?
I don't think so.
Down around SMU?
No, I haven't.
Pretty much just an arcade with a whole bunch of old school, stand-up arcade cabinets.
That's perfect. Fix that in post.
You're right. That should be louder. I'll fix that. But there was actually a stand-up Super Mario Bros. Cabinet.
Oh, nice.
Which I've never seen one before.
I've only seen pictures.
Yeah, it blew my mind. But there were a lot of games. There was Dig Dug, Spy Hunter, Tron. Played nice. A lot of Tron. But there also was a Street Fighter 2 cabinet. So I started playing that, and I was having a good old time. And then someone quarters up on me. It's like, huh, that's weird at a bar. And this guy just demolishes me. Like, I used to play that game a lot, so I would say I'm fairly competent at it.
Yeah. You know how to do a fireball.
But, yep.
Maybe even a Hadouken.
Maybe. Who knows? It's a mystery to both me and him. But this guy, no quarter. He just destroyed me. I think in about the 7 or 8 matches we played, I got him down to half life once.
Wow.
it just wasn't even fair. So when I start playing those sorts of people is when I stop being interested in a fighting game.
That's what I think day one of Street Fighter 4, I booted up. It was day one for everyone. I got 10 wins in a row. Got the achievement for that. I don't think I ever won another match. So, yeah, that's fighting games.
Yeah, sounds about the same for me, too.
But so, okay, why we send Neo Geo's back is because they're... Maybe, I guess this hasn't been totally confirmed. I don't know.
I don't think it has.
But supposedly, there's another Neo Geo Pocket coming. Which, okay. Neo Geo Pocket had that one cool card game. Yep.
That sums it up.
But, was there Metal Slug on Neo Geo Pocket? Probably.
I'm going to assume so. Why wouldn't there?
There had to have been.
Yeah.
But so, this device actually looks kind of sleek. Because it looks like an iPhone, but with actual buttons.
It looks exactly like an iPhone.
Which kind of maybe leads credence to the fact that, like, yeah, that's not real. But it looks
something
solid.
Tells me that picture was shooped in some way. Because it looks... Something doesn't add up. But it would make sense that would be the form factor they take.
Yeah.
A more mobile skew as opposed to the Nintendo style.
So what would be cool is... So here's... Okay, here's the fear. The fear is that this is just a crappy video MP3 player that comes packed with a bunch of Neo Geo games.
Oh, N-Gage.
Yeah. That, yeah. To listen to MP3s, you have to hold it sideways to your face.
So people think you're just holding a taco up to your
face. So that's the fear. That would not be good. The hope is that since they're emulating all these arcade games and they're supposedly going to come packed on, that, you know, there's devices you can get on, like, ThinkGeek that, you know, yeah, this has an SD card slot, so, you know, we're not going to say you should, but maybe perhaps you could load some ROMs onto this or, you know, maybe play some old classic games on the ROM. I don't know. We're not going to tell you.
Maybe you Google Joust emulator ROMs. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe you Google Super Mario RPG SNES ROM, and maybe you load that onto this SD card and play it with this perfectly laid out. It's perfect for an SNES control scheme. I don't know. It's up to you. So that's kind of because this Neo Geo device, supposedly has an SD card. So if it's the same, that could be cool. It's not totally legal.
I just don't see where a new Neo Geo device would fit into today's mobile gaming. Like, pretty much, either it's Nintendo, or it's your iPhone or Android device. And Android devices are free to have emulators all they want, as opposed to in the App Store. So, like, there's really... Aside from being officially sanctioned, what is the point of a new Neo Geo?
Because it says Neo Geo on it. And it looks cool.
Is that all you got?
That's kind of all I've got. I don't know. Like, it's just cool to think about that Neo Geo could come back, okay? Next thing you know, 3DO is coming back. We're going to pay $300 for cartridges, for like Neo Geo cartridges again.
3DO is coming back.
Okay. If you say so. Are we going to get a new Army Men game? Because those were great.
Oh, the worst part is they were kind of great.
They were great. That's another thing. Yeah, when you're 7, man, they made a game about Army Men, like the toys, like you see in Toy Story. Like,
yeah, that was the best part. Like, thinking back on it, I don't even want to analyze it again because I just want to remember my happy childhood.
You don't want to analyze it. Yeah, I remember playing, was it Sarge's Heroes on N64?
Yeah.
I think we played that 4-player split screen growing up.
That was fun.
It probably wasn't.
Well, with 4 people.
Okay, like, yeah, for us it was fun. So, I guess, mission accomplished.
Like, yeah. But as soon as you play that game by yourself, you're just like, where's Banjo-Kazooie at?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of news. I don't know. It's slow.
It is slow.
It's slow across the board. Next month's going to be crazy with releases.
Yes. But then it's kind of dead again. As soon as you hit mid-March, there's nothing until, like, what, end of summer?
I guess.
There's Devil May Cry and Mass Effect are probably some of the bigger ones.
I mean, the Vita is launching towards the end of February.
Yeah, if you're into that.
And there's all those release window games. So there, I'm just saying, there'll be new things. They may not be things you want, but they'll be new.
Saying you don't want Mass Effect 3?
Yeah, Mass Effect 3 I do want.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm so jacked for that. I mean, the things they've shown so far, I haven't put much credence into, because when you show a game publicly, what are you going to show? Right. Exciting stuff.
Right.
Flashy things. But, you know, that's not what you go to Mass Effect for.
And see, like, here's the... With Mass Effect 2, like, I played the original Mass Effect and liked it fine. But I wasn't, like, all like, yeah, Mass Effect 2 is going to be amazing. So I kind of ignored it. And then when it came out, I was like, man, Mass Effect 2 is pretty good. It wasn't like my game of the year pick or anything, but like, yeah, this is a great game. I've kind of been treating Mass Effect 3 the same way. Like, yeah, cool. I'm glad a new Mass Effect's coming. I'll be happy to play that. But I haven't really, like, kept up with it. So I'm hoping that I'll actually, like, be surprised by some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully that pays off.
Actually, I got really into Mass Effect 2. Like, I've only played it once, but the story kind of left a mark on me.
Yeah, I also only played it once, but I played all the DLC.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got it on PS3, so it came with all the DLC.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, also, that kind of makes me think that, like, oh, yeah, that's only, like, a two-year-old game.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I'm just glad Yvonne Strahovski's back. She's back, right? I like her.
That just makes me sad for Chuck.
Yeah, that's... I didn't want to say that.
I'm sorry.
I miss Chuck already.
I haven't watched the last half of this last season.
I haven't either. I actually... Because, yeah, my schedule has been crazy. I haven't been current with TV.
I also don't feel like crying. Because I know that last episode is going to tug at some heartstrings. You just know it.
Chuck is a good show.
Oh, it was so good. And everyone in it were genuine, just like fans of their own show.
That's why I was such a big fan of Zachary Levi hosting the VGAs, because he's a genuine
guy. He did good, too.
Yeah, like, you know, and you could tell there was stuff that, like, he didn't really want to do, because he knew this is dumb.
Yeah.
So I personally, like, I hope Zach Levi comes back and hosts again. Because Zach Levi is an awesome... I want to hang out with Zach Levi.
Yeah, he seems like a cool dude. The first interview I remember seeing of him on the internets was of him playing Rock Band with... I don't remember his real name, but he played the scrawny dude in Dodgeball. And he was also in that Katy Perry music video.
Sure. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. You love Katy Perry. But he would just have, like, a whole, like, 5 or 10 minute interview while he was playing Rock Band. And he was on Expert. And they were like, yeah, this guy does play video games.
I think he went around E3 last year, like, and PR people were kind of like, hey, press, you gotta... Zachary Levi wants to play Mass Effect. You just gotta... that would kind of suck as a member of the press. But, yeah, no, like, he's totally genuine about stuff. That's awesome. Yeah.
What do you think about Cliffy B hosting GDC?
Why was he hosting GDC? I didn't even know.
Oh, yeah. They announced it, like, a week and a half ago.
I should have known that, and I didn't.
Well, what do you think? Now, on the spot.
That'll probably be fine. Like, he's... I grew up playing Jazz Jackrabbit, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah! I'm going to play that right now.
All right. Let's finish this podcast and play Jazz Jackrabbit. That'll probably be cool. But with Zachary Levi, I could sing Tangled songs with him.
I never saw Tangled, to be fair.
Tangled was a good movie, actually.
Yeah?
I mean, I saw it with my fiance, so that it helped. I wasn't like single dude going into the yep, I'm gonna see Tangled.
I saw a movie by myself recently, just because I had a lot of time to kill and it was the middle of the day. It is depressing. Especially when it's not a new release like I went to see. So it's me and some like Timothy McVeigh looking dude in a bomber jacket. I was like, so, this is how I die. Cool. In a movie theater.
Yeah. How did we get on that? Mass Effect 3? Yeah.
Yep.
Yvonne Strahovski. Cool. Great.
She did great in Mass Effect 2.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. She also see, like...
Although they highlighted her behind quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. To be fair, it's a pretty good behind.
That is also true.
I just love her accent. I wish there was more of that.
Her Australian accent?
No. Yes. Yes.
Well done.
You watch Prophecy. Let's play Mass Effect 3 together.
Yeah, she'll get this. We'll contact her people.
Exactly, Vi. Let's sing Tangled songs together. I want to be with you both.
He's a bit harder to reach.
I want to be friends with Zachary. Okay. I think this podcast has run its course. If you're still with us, thanks. I don't know how you've lasted this long. We don't know how often we're going to do these. Like, we're kind of... I'm at Tim's house right now, which is like an hour away from my house.
Yay!
If finances get better for me soon, I'll have a better internet connection. We can just do this from Skype, and that'll be probably better.
We'll see.
But, yeah, we'll play it by ear. At least we'll get this one out. The comeback tour of Yay! New Game Plus / Level Up. Woo! We love your dollars!
We did it!
All right, yeah, thanks for listening.